Apex. All right, all right, all right. Hello, friends. All right, guys, thank you for hopefully making someone else feel welcome. Come back and grab a seat. If you are lingering at the back and you want to like get closer to the action, there's a great spot right here where there's some space. I did something this morning I don't normally do. I sat down. Oh, Apex, get out of here. Grade 6, 7, 8. Get out of here. Go to your stuff. Sorry about that. Like many of you, I walked in this morning. I sat at the end of an aisle. And there was like 8 seats between me and the 2 people sitting at the other end of the row. And during the second song, I picked up my stuff and I moved over beside those people and I met them. And then someone else came in and filled in the space. It was awesome. It's almost like it's what we talk about all the time. So I invite us, if you are like me, you love that end of the row seat. Now, some of us, maybe we have anxiety issues or we need to be at the end of the row because of health issues or whatever, and that's fine. But if you don't, the middle of the row, let's make that gold, okay? Let's make that the holy place, okay? Middle of the row. Let's make that a hashtag at Lambrick. Middle of the row. Also just want to mention, I don't know, I think they might have all got handed out this morning, but we'll get some more, or you can find on the website. As we enter into Lent, which begins on Wednesday, there is a Lent guide that frames this for you and gives you a frame of reference for what the markers of the journey of Lent are. It begins with Ash Wednesday or Shrove Tuesday or Mardi Gras Tuesday, pancake party, whatever. And it's a journey toward the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is, Christmas is huge, Easter is huge, right? If not for the death and resurrection of Jesus, the rest of the story does not change us, does not save us. We need all that Jesus has done. So that's what Lent is about. I'm gonna hand this back to you. Thank you. All right, anything else I wanna say? Oh, my name is Scott Anderson. If you're new with us, welcome to Lambrick Park. All right. If you are just joining us, we are in the midst of a study in the Ten Commandments, as was prayed by Deanna, within a larger journey through the book of Exodus, which is not just a foundational story in the history of Israel, but this is a foundational story in the revelation of God and the gospel, that the God of the universe not only knows about what happens, not only cares about the suffering and injustice of the world, but is actively seeking to rescue the world, to rescue all from the slavery of idolatry, to enjoy the freedom of life with God. Hence, another reason why our vision as a church here is life with God for the world, because this is what God is up to all the time, in all things, in all of us, to rescue us from the destruction of slavery, of idolatry, and to lead us into the joy of life with God, in God, by God, for God, through Jesus. And today, with that in mind, we come to the 5th commandment. It was said before, maybe you probably caught it. I was gonna ask, do you know what the 5th commandment is? But I think, Deanna, you told us. The 5th commandment is, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall have no other gods before me. Right? So this begins. You shall not make for yourself an image to worship. Because any image you make is going to be less than me, than God. Third, you shall not misuse God's name. Fourth, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And then fifth, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Although well known, this commandment, maybe similar to the 4th commandment, the Sabbath command, is often experienced or perceived as having a little less gravity than the rest. It feels a little less life or death, doesn't it? I mean, of course, God is going to command us to not worship false gods. Of course, God is going to command us to not misuse his name. Of course, God is going to command us to not murder or commit adultery. But the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, doesn't seem to have the same urgency or gravity, at least not in our ears. It doesn't feel like a life or death matter. But it is to God. Here in the fifth commandment, we discover that God, the God of Exodus, the God who rescues us from slavery, the God who is seeking to put an end to all oppression, this God considers honoring our parents utterly essential, the weightiest of matters. You probably have some concept of that from our own stories or maybe simply from Deanna's prayer. This is a weighty matter. So as we dive into it, let's pray. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God of Exodus, rescuing God who sees the cries of the suffering, who sees the destruction of idolatry, and who in love has come to save us. Oh, Lord God, we need your saving grace today as women and men right here. As we come to this commandment, as we come to your word, we ask, Spirit, who inspired the word in the first place, that you would yet again take this word that you have kept in scripture down through the centuries, and you would once again breathe through your word upon us, that we would today hear and know you, God. We confess every one of us needs you to come order the chaos in us, you to speak a word that heals the broken in us, that restores us. And we pray not just for ourselves, but we lift up the women and men sitting around us, some whom we know, some who we do not know at all. And we acknowledge that they need your voice as much as we do today. So God, would you give us ears to hear your voice, and would you speak once again through your word? Amen. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I've been praying this morning as the week has come to today with this sense of, God, there's so much more that I could say than I could ever say today. So I trust that I'm thankful that in this moment it is we come in faith that God speaks. And I hope that, like many times I have experienced sitting in the room as someone else has spoken, God has said those deeper words to me. I want to acknowledge right from the start, as Deanna named in her prayer, that for all the seeming simplicity or straightforwardness of this commandment touches on an aspect of many of our lives that is truly, if not deeply, complicated. An aspect of many of our lives that is filled with great tension, our relationship with our parents. Few things could have and do have as much impact on our lives, for better or for worse, as our parents and our relationship with them, for better or for worse. And we know that, right? The sad reality is that many people, young and old, live with an incredible measure of pain, confusion, and brokenness, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, sexually, relationally. An incredible measure of pain, confusion, and brokenness as a result of their parents, whether through neglect or domination, through the destructive fallout of their parents' immaturity, lack of relational skills, self-centeredness, addictions, or through outright abuse, physical, verbal, sexual. Which isn't to say that parents are to be blamed for all the troubles of our lives, but it is to acknowledge that few things have as much impact on our lives as our parents and our relationship with them, for better or for worse. I'll never forget speaking on this commandment years ago and the stories, the coffees that came in the week following. Stories of pain that you would never be able to anticipate. And so I know that alongside all the beautiful stories in this room of loving and attentive imperfect parents, as we lean into this commandment, some of us find ourselves paralyzed with the memory or the ongoing fallout of how a father or mother has wounded us or another close to us, which makes this commandment rather complicated. For some of us, it is the most natural thing. Where a parent has been honorable, this commandment is just an invitation to do what makes sense. The natural expression of gratitude from a child well-loved. But where a parent has misused or abused their influence in the life of their child, this commandment could possibly enable or perpetuate suffering. In some instances, it might seem unwise, even dangerous. And to get around this, it is not surprising that many, as I study what others have said about this historically or in our day, many use this command as a launch point to address parents. Which makes sense, right? Parents have such an incredible influence on the lives of their children, and yet, the fifth commandment is not addressed to any of us as parents, but to each of us as children, which all of us are. And there's something incredibly universal about this commandment, as all the rest. For all of our differences, and there are many, right? One thing that can be said of every single one of us is that we are children of someone. We are not all parents, but we are all children, whether young or old. As someone wise said, no matter how old we become, no matter how many children we ourselves may have, we never get over being children of God and our parents. And we need to keep this in mind as we consider this commandment, because I think we've often not heard or applied this commandment universally to all of us. Some of us have only ever considered it as pertaining to kids or teens, whether our own kids or ourselves in the days of our youth. Some of you this morning might have thought, oh, I wish my kids were here so they could hear this, because this one's for them. Some of you said that to each other this morning. Someone said it to me yesterday. But just as the rest of the Ten Commandments were originally addressed to the whole community of the Israelites, so this commandment is addressed to all of us, to every person, because all of us are children of parents. And with that, I think it's worth acknowledging the powerful affirmation of women in this commandment. Although we often don't notice a striking distinctiveness of this commandment in the ancient Near East, in the world of Exodus, where a command like this was spoken, it was only ever in reference to honoring one's father. In Egypt, only the Pharaoh and his sons were made in the image of God. And so, not surprisingly, in the ancient Near East Code of Hammurabi, 1750 BCE, honor was commanded only for one's father. But just as the Genesis creation account declares that both men and women are created in the image of God, so here Yahweh, the God of creation, the rescuing God of Exodus, commands us to honor both our father and our mother. This isn't our topic for today, but it cannot be missed. The God of Exodus cares about the honor of mothers as much as fathers. So what does this commandment mean? What does it mean to honor your father or your mother? And what if your father or your mother haven't been or aren't deserving of honor? Well, thankfully, unpacking the meaning of the commandment will, I think, help us make sense something of this more personal question. And it starts with us making sense of the word honor. As most of us know, the Old Testament was not originally written in English, but Hebrew, right? And so the word translated for us as honor is really the Hebrew word kavod, which means running to Webster's Dictionary to find a definition of honor is in no way going to help us today. We need to make sense of the Hebrew word kavod. So what does it mean to kavod your father and your mother? Well, kavod is actually a word often used in the church and the Christian community because it's the same Hebrew word behind our word, glory. We sang it this morning a number of times. Therese, there was one song in there that just said a million parts of this today. When we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the kavod of God. As one commentary explains, the basic meaning of the word is heaviness in the physical sense and importance in the metaphorical sense. Its opposite being lightness in the physical sense, leading to slightness or insignificance or even contempt in the metaphorical sense. You with me? Simply put, kavod means heavy or weighty, significance. Hence my remark earlier that the fifth commandment is the weightiest commandment. That's a little sneaky little play on words there. If my daughter was here, she'd chat me about that later. Beyond the Bible, kavod is a word from the world of commerce, where the worth of something like gold or silver was determined by its weight. We're familiar with this, right? This is basic bulk barn economics, right? If something has kavod, if something has weight, if something's heavy, it has great worth. And so not surprisingly, throughout the Bible, God is described as having great kavod, glory. God is heavy, weighty, of the greatest worth, importance, and significance. Which years ago, as an aside, helped me finally make sense of the meaning of C.S. Lewis's famous reference to the weight of glory. It's one of C.S. Lewis's most famous sermons, and then a book, a collection of his short works named after that sermon. The weight of glory. That's what the word means. Kavod, heavy or weighty, of great worth. And so on the fifth commandment, we are instructed to kavod our father and our mother, in the sense of weighing heavy our father and our mother. Now, I don't think either of my parents would be that excited if I start considering them pretty heavy. I'm sure I would get a talking to or at least a stiff text. When my parents listen to this online, they will call me. But if I weighed my parents heavily in my life, if I treated them and related to them as having great worth and significance, which is what the Hebrew word kavod means, I'm sure they would be deeply appreciative, if not maybe at times honored. And that is what this command is about. God's will, God's command, God's desire is that every one of us would weigh our parents heavy or heavily in our lives, that we would not take our parents lightly, that we would not treat them as unimportant, insignificant, having no worth, value, or substance. Think about this with me. Think about how you have related to your father and your mother in the past, or how you relate to them these days. And I know some of us, our parents are no longer alive, or maybe one of our parents isn't. And I think there's still implications of this commandment for us. Have you ever weighed your parents lightly? Have you ever treated your mom or your dad as though their life, their presence, their feelings, their needs mean nothing to you? Have you ever just blown them off, disregarded them or their counsel as having no value to you? That is a question not just to be asked to a 17-year-old. That is a question for all of us at every stage. I'm not asking if you've ever attacked your parents, though the other commandments will speak to that. But have you ever treated your parents as insignificant, unimportant, whether their opinions or feelings, concerns or needs, or simply just them as people? Have you ever not treated your parents with kavod? With the fifth commandment, God's command, God commands us to kavod our father and our mother, to treat them as having great worth, that we would relate to them in a way that conveys that their lives, that who they are, that their perspective and ways and feelings and needs weigh heavily in our lives and thoughts, that they are of great significance, which does not necessarily always mean raising our glass to them, right? To have kavod, to treat your parents with kavod, does not necessarily mean to do their wishes, to obey their commands. The command of kavod, to kavod your father and your mother, is not just another way of saying obey your parents. Now, there's a time when honoring our parents, kavod, largely involves obedience, right? Particularly in our childhood and youth. Earl Palmer, great preacher from a previous generation, mostly in Seattle, said, "The survival, the very survival of a small child depends upon the protection and care of parents. Therefore, the instructions about streets and medicine cabinets and screen time are non-negotiable and must be obeyed." But there comes a time where our obedience to the fifth commandment may not require obedience to our parents, but it will always require kavod. As one scholar explains, kavod is not a question of subordination, but of giving serious weight to parents' concerns and needs. Truth is, treating your parents with kavod, with great weight, may, for some of you, for some of us at times, may mean being open and honest about the ways that their ways have hurt us, or are hurting them, or hurting others. It could mean even standing up against their ways, because their life matters so much, because their life bears so much weight. I'll say it again, there comes a time where when our obedience to the fifth commandment may not require obedience to our parents, but it will always require kavod. I think it's important for us to get this, because some of us have so deeply entangled honor in this commandment with obedience that at times the commandment has been moved to a place that is inappropriate, unhealthy, even destructive. Not that there isn't a place for obedience within kavod, but they're not synonyms. The call is to weigh heavy our parents for the whole of our lives. Why? Why does this matter so much to God? Why include this in the Ten Commandments? Why not just have 9 and leave this one for the appendix, right? Exodus 21 or more. Well, for one thing, it matters to God because our parents are always and undeniably our first neighbors. Our children are not necessarily our first neighbors, but our parents are always and undeniably our first neighbors. And as Jesus says, the whole of the law is summed up in these two commands: to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Before anyone else, our parents are always and undeniably our first neighbors. People whom God loves and calls us to love, whatever they have done to us. Just as God loves us, despite all we have done to God. But with this, intimately related to this, God calls us to honor, to kavod our parents, because God knows that we will not murder, steal from, commit adultery against those whom we kavod. In a sense, this commandment is essential to our fulfillment of all the commandments that follow. For where we deny or dismiss the worth of another, including our parents, we will treat them accordingly. Those of us that watched the documentary For the Love of God this past week caught a glimpse of this. Where ancient and modern cultures have not affirmed the worth of infants, or of girls, or of a people group, like the Jews, or Africans, or the indigenous people, or the infirm, or the aged, where ancient and modern cultures have not affirmed the worth of some person or group of people, as a result, they have treated them accordingly. They exposed unwanted infants, sold into slavery unvalued girls, forced into subjection or utterly displaced whole people groups, or abandoned aging parents to the elements, or worse. But here in the fifth commandment, we catch a glimpse of the incredible grace of a God that treats all of us with kavod. All of us. Even when we don't deserve it. Just as maybe some of our parents don't deserve it. Which is one of the striking dynamics of this commandment, which is what causes many of us to wrestle with it. There is no if in this commandment. There is no qualifier. The fifth commandment does not say, honor your father and your mother if they are deserving of honor. No. God simply commands us to honor our father and our mother, kavod our father and our mother, which may seem hard, may seem unfair for some of us, and yet it is exactly the kind of saving grace that we and our parents all need, all of us. In a way, here again, like in the rest of the commandments, we discover something of the gospel, something of the grace of God, despite all that we've done. In truth, in the fifth commandment, God is inviting us, commanding us to treat our parents the same way God himself treats us, despite all we've done. Truth is, we all have dismissed God at some point along the way, or as the very pattern of our lives, we have taken God lightly, messed with the scales and valued other things or maybe everything heavier, weightier than God. We've treated God with no kavod and lived accordingly. But God, I love any sentence that begins with, but God in his grace, instead of blowing us off as insignificant, dismissing us as worthless, lacking any real weight, God in his grace has chosen to treat us as having great kavod, having immeasurable worth in his sight, which is astounding, especially in the light of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3, verse 23, a verse many of us know, where Paul says, of us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the kavod of God. We were created in the image of God, created to be filled with the glory of God, God's great worth and significance and beauty. But we've worshipped ourselves instead of him and ended up empty. Empty vessels, lacking any true kavod, worth, weight. But God in grace has weighed us heavy. God in grace has, instead of treating us as lightweights, empty vessels of no worth, God has weighed us heavy, so heavy he gave his life for us. God kavods us that much. God kavods you that much, so much so that he would give his life on the cross for you and for me. Again, to quote Earl Palmer, at the cross of Christ, all of humanity is invited to make the ultimate discovery of how heavy every one of us has been weighed by God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, when we least deserved it, God honored us with grace and restored to us his honor. His honor bestowed on us his honor, his kavod, his great worth. That by his grace, we would be led and empowered to become people who can extend to others, including our parents, what we've been given in grace. Let's pray. Lord God, I feel that even in my words that I've brought this morning, in my journey with this part of your revelation, there's ways in which I feel liberated in understanding your word better, and yet also it makes it muddy too. There is a discerning journey for each of us in this season of our lives toward our parents. We recognize, God, how relevant this is for all of us, and not just toward our parents, but toward others, but uniquely with our parents. We come to you, our Father, we ask, God, for clarity from you, Holy Spirit, that you would renew our understanding, that you would help us to see our parents, whether living or no longer with us, with the great gravity that you see them. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for the ways that we have in different seasons of our lives and maybe today dismissed, denied the great weight of these people who bore us, have shaped our lives in so many ways, through their presence or maybe their absence. God, we recognize that we as a church have so much healing that is needed. There are so many ways that we are broken and need your saving grace to restore us. And we thank you for this striking, holy calling and privilege we have to be a part of your giving honor to those who bore us, those who were called to raise us up. We thank you that you allow us as children somehow, in the mystery of grace, to become priests to our own parents who need your mercy and grace and restoring honor as much as we do. Oh God, Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your heart and lead us in faith and hope and love to be priests, ministers, evangelists, of your honor to our parents. Jesus, we come to the Lord's Supper to share in the bread and the cup, this holy meal that you chose centuries ago to place at the center of our life. So we come to take the bread and the cup, these symbols of your death, your sacrifice for us, how you have weighed us heavy, and lay down your life for us, that we might be drawn into your glory. Oh God, would you meet us here? In our places of pain, would you meet us here? In our broken story with honor, would you meet us here, and would you restore us and make us restorers of others with you, God? Amen. We're going to come in response and receive the Lord's Supper. Can I invite those that are serving to come to the stations? If you're new with us, our practice is to come forward with our hands, our hearts open to receive the gifts of God's grace that we desperately need. The bread and the juice are symbols of the sacrifice of God, the tangible, very real sacrifice of God that is our hope. It's through what Christ has done, symbolized in the bread and the cup, that our sin, our dishonor, and the sin of others is taken to the grave and dealt with, that we might be raised up in the mercy and grace of God. So I invite us to come today. Come to receive the grace of God for you. Come to receive the grace of God that God would have you give to others. Maybe to your parents today. If you know that you need the saving grace of Jesus, His forgiveness for your sin, His resurrection life to give you life, come with us today. You are invited. Christ desires you to come and receive life from Him. Just follow the crowd, okay? If you're going to join in, we got exit out, come from the side of your station and return the other way, and you shouldn't be able to make sense of it. Those at the back are invited to come first, and we slowly work our way towards the front. So let's come to Christ today.